Chochmah Vadah Aleph, Wednesday, the 26th of February, Rabbi Yeshua Persian, Uman Koine Beshvachli.
Morning. I can just apologize, my voice is very shach, so I encourage those of you who can to move a little. Let's move a little bit nearer. I'd like to talk about a shaila of a case of a mechanic who we'll call Shimon for today's purposes. Reuven brings his car into Shimon, and Reuven's car actually gets towed into Shimon because his engine has gone. He brings the car into Shimon, and Shimon says, "Your engine's gone, you need a new engine." Reuven does his homework and discovers it's cheaper if he gets hold of his own engine. However, he gets hold of his own engine, and he just comes to Shimon to fit the engine. So Kachava, Reuven finds an engine somewhere online, he orders it to be delivered to the garage of Shimon, and so he fixes with Shimon that Shimon, the engine costs him £800, he buys that himself, he sends it to the garage of Shimon, and Shimon's going to charge £400 for the fitting of this engine. Shimon fitted the engine, and on the end of a long day of fitting this engine, maybe was a little bit fatigued, and left the keys to the car inside the car. Next morning, he comes out to the car, and someone has helped themselves. So the car's now gone. So he calls up Reuven. Says, "Listen, I'm terribly, terribly sorry, but the car has been stolen. Obviously, I'm going to have to pay you. So let's talk figures. How much do I have to pay you?" Now, I really do the whiteboard here, showing you actually the breakdown of the figures here. But basically, the story is like this. The car, without an engine, if it would have been put on the market, wouldn't have made more than £800. Right? There's not a massive amounts of people looking to buy a car without an engine. So, therefore, Shimon turned around and said, "Listen, the car without the engine was £800. So you provided me with a car without an engine worth £800. You provided me with an engine worth £800. That's the total value. Sorry? 800. 800. So that provides you, that gives me a total value of assets that you've given me, so to speak, on my watch, of £1,600. So therefore, I'll have to pay you back £1,600. Reuven turns around and says, "Hang on a minute. You took my car, you put in the engine, I owe you £400, but the car with the engine in, as it was stolen at the time that it was stolen, was had a street value of £3,000. So I haven't paid you the £400 for the work, so that's £2,600. So there's a dispute between Reuven and Shimon over £1,000. Effectively, Shimon is saying that the value of the car minus the uplift which I provided to the car, and you haven't paid me for that uplift, so that's neither here nor there. So the value of the assets you've given me is £800 shell of a car without an engine, £800 engine, that's £1,600, that's what I'll pay you." Reuven says, "No, doesn't go like that. You're a shamer on my car. At the time when the car got stolen, it was worth £3,000. I do owe you £400, so therefore you owe me now £2,600. So there's a dispute between them over £1,000. Before we start, how the Olam Pasken?
There must be a market value of the car when it went in, irrespective.
There is. We've done the market value. The market value without an engine is £800.
When you put an engine in, it's still. If you took it, someone said, "Put an engine in," it's worth.
The market value, if I would want to sell a car without an engine, which could have an engine put in, is £800. The market value of the car with the engine in, all done, finished, is £3,000. For today's share, we'll go with the discrepancy. We're not disputing his share. That's not the question. He's accept liability. At the time when he got it. So you're like Reuven.
Even then, the Chari could find that if it wasn't his fault, maybe it's his fault, but whatever the market value of the car.
Okay. Okay.
At the time when it was stolen, the car with the engine.
Pardon?
At the time when it was stolen, the car with the engine belonged to who?
That's going to be part of the shrine, essentially. Well, the car and the engine, the shell of the car and the shell of the engine belong.
The completed item.
That's part of the shrine. That's going to be part of the shrine. He wanted to know that the car with the engine, the complete finished item, who did it belong to? On the surface, we'd say it belonged to Reuben. It's Reuben's car. But that's part of the sukkah which we need to now open. The Gemara in Baba Kama, of Tzadi Chesem and Beis, the Mishnah says, Nosan l'umlin l'sakin, if a person gives something to an umman, to a craftsman, to fix him, v'kilkloy, and he damages it, he ruins it, chayov n'shalim, he's chayov to pay for the damages. Nosan l'cheresh shidot teva v'mikl, if a person gives to a carpenter different types of boxes or cupboards, l'sakin, to fix it, v'kilkloy, and he ruins it, chayov n'shalim, he's chayov to pay. Comes along the Gemara, and Rav Asi turns around and says, hold on a minute. This that we said, if you give to a carpenter wood, a cupboard, and he ruins it, he's chayav to pay, is talking about where you give him a complete cupboard. And you need a nail, you know, you've got a shtender, and it's missing a screw or a nail, so you give it to him to please fit in the nail, and while he's fitting the nail, he breaks the whole thing. So then you can say, listen, the shtender I gave you is worth £100, you ruined my shtender, please pay me £100. But, Luyutsuya, I would have turned around to this craftsman, and given him planks of wood, and I would have said to him, here's the planks of wood, I'd like you to make for me a shtender, and he goes and makes the shtender for me, and then, having made the shtender, he ruins the shtender, or he's negligent with it, then the halacha is, his taka would only be chayav to pay the value of the wood. Why is that? That's because of an interesting yesod, which Rav Asi is pushing for here, that uman koine b'shvach kli. Uman, which means a craftsman, is koine b'shvach kli, which literally means he acquires the uplift in the keli, in the item, which he has been working on.
I gave him the wood.
You gave him wood? He made an oil.
Right.
This machlekas, which is a machlekas, whether uman kain is shachli or not, is based on understanding what it is that this craftsman is doing at the time when he makes the work. When this craftsman builds the shtender from the wood which I provided to him, has he? Well, the way Pashas we would look at it is, he's working for me. He's my employee. There are different types of employees, we'll see. But he's working for me. So therefore, any work he does is mine. Yes, I owe him. And maybe he can hold on to the shtender until I pay him, which is one reason in Halacha why he gets upgraded to a Shem Esocha from a Shem Echilom, because he has certain benefits in this item which he's holding on to. He can say, I'm sorry, I'm only releasing it when you pay me the money because of the work that I've done. But he owns absolutely nothing in this shtender. That is if you hold Ein Uman Koine B'Shvachli. If you hold Uman Koine B'Shvachli, then you hold, that's when Shimon, let's say the craftsman, receives, let's say, 30 pounds of wood, and he now puts into it work to make it into a shtender. And let's say he is going to be charging another £30 for his work. So there's £60 in costs, and the end product is worth £100, right? So in such a case, the difference between the costs and the final value, the £40, which is what the Gemara's Shaila is here. So again, you've got £30 of wood, £30 of labour, and £40 of uplift in the value then of the wood becoming a shtender. So, if you hold Uman Koine B'Shvachli, you hold that when Shimon the craftsman creates a shtender, the shtender is his. He's not working for Reuven. He's working for himself. He now owns, if we can say it, it doesn't really sound like it makes sense in English, but he owns the shtender in this wood. Reuven owns the raw materials of the wood, and Shimon owns, and this is what you're alluding to, Shimon owns the shtender in this wood. But, he has agreed before he started any work that he is going to sell the shtender in the wood that he owns for £30. So in other words, when you fix with this craftsman, when you fix with him, I want you with this carpenter, you make for me a shtender from my wood for £30, Is he working for you for £30? Or is he working for himself and selling you the uplift in the Shtenza which he now owns for £30? That's the Shaila. Now, what's the Nafkimina? How is it semantics, how we look at it? Says Gemara, no. If you hold he's working for me, which is Pasha's how we would look at the situation if we wouldn't have opened the Gemara. If you hold he's working for me, and you say he's a Shomer, now whether he's a Shomer Chinam or he's a Shomer Socher is irrelevant in the case where he's Peshea, where he's negligent. So if he's working for me and he's negligent on the car, right? So then would say that yes, I might owe him money, but that's an employee of mine who I owe money. But the meanwhile, he bought my car from being worth £1,600 to worth £2,600 to worth £3,000. So that's my car. That's entirely my car. He has worked on my car. The car belongs to me. I owe him £800 for the work, whatever it is, for the work he's done. £400 for the work he's done. But the car belongs entirely to me. So therefore, as you were saying, if he's Peshia and it gets stolen, so therefore he has to pay me back the value of my car. He was a shomer on a £3,000 car that belonged to me. However, if you hold in the Gemara, Umun Koine B'Shvachli, then what we say is, you know what? He, Reuven, only owns, in this particular case, owns £800 shell, £800 engine. He owns £1,600 in this car. I have agreed that I'm going to enhance this car by connecting up the parts of the engine and making it into a working, viable car. And I'm then going to sell him that which I own in his car for £400. That's if I can. For £400. Pardon?
Because by the standard, for example, you give him raw planks and he turned the planks from wood into a standard, the functioning standard. This car was originally a functioning car.
No, it came without an engine.
I'm saying that it was originally with an engine.
Say that. When he brings it to me, it doesn't have an engine.
It wasn't as if he started off with raw materials. It wasn't a fully functioning keli, which went afterwards.
Halacha in Tzvilas Kelim is if you take a keli and you make it ois keli, then you don't have to table now. It's now when I make a keli again, it's a new keli. Panim chadashos. It lost its engine. I'm putting a new engine. It's a new car. We don't look at the fact that once, however long ago, it had a viable engine, therefore it's a viable car. When this was delivered to me, it wasn't a car. It was a piece of metal. It's not a car. An engine is quite a fundamental part of a car. So the fact that it had an engine is irrelevant to me. I never got it with an engine. I got it with something that used to be an engine, but it's not an engine. So therefore, says the Gemara, in such a case, if you hold Umun Koine B'Shvach Kli, what you'll say is that I've agreed to sell him the uplift in this car for £400, right? But that's only if I can. But if Lemaisa, something goes wrong, and it's my problem, I was negligent and it got stolen, and it's not here now, so I can't perform, so I can't sell it to him, there's nothing I can do about it. And since I can't sell it to him, so therefore all I have to do is pay him the value of what's his. What was his in this car is £1,600. An engine and a shell of a car. So it's in fact, this turns out to be a machlekes in the Gemara. A machlekes, whether this £1,000 discrepancy between the two, between Reuven and Shimon, is a machlekes tanoim, machlekes in the Gemara. In Shulchan Aruch, Simon Shinvov, the Mechab actually brings his case, and he says that this situation of our Mishnah, where Nosan Umnin, says Mechaber and Simon Shinvovsi base Nosan Umnin Sakin veKilkuloi Chayovim Neshalim. Kate said, "What's the case? Nosan Chera Shidov Teve Migdol Likvoy Behem Misma VeShiver. Oy, Nosan I Eitzim Lasis Behem Shidov Teve Migdol VeNishvu." So the Mechaber argues that the Mechaber Paskin is not like Rashi. So the Mechaber Paskin is even if you give him wood and he makes from the wood into a box and then it gets damaged, Achas Shinase Meshalim Leidzimei Shidov Teve Migdol. You'd have to pay the full amount. The full amount. Why? She'ein umen koine b'shvach kli. Azoi paskin u'mechava. Umen is not koine b'shvach kli. So the mechava says, when he does work for me, he is working for me. He's not, none of this, he's working for himself and is selling it back to me. He's working for me. That would have been fine, if not for the fact that the shach turns around and says, that is machalikus m'shoinim. Grace of machalikus m'shoinim how we paskin. And since it's a grace of machalikus m'shoinim whether we paskin umen koine b'shvach kli or not, ha'meitz m'chaveri olav arayim. Which means you cannot force the Umun to pay the uplift. So the Shach Pasman's Aloch Lemaise, it would seem, in our case, that you can't force the mechanic to pay you the extra £1,000 because he can say kimni like those who shown who say umen kene beshvachli. As it would seem, it would come out. There is one, at least one ha'ara on this nukudah. Comes out clear from the Rishonim that this halacha of umen kene beshvachli, according to the man d'orma that holds umen kene beshvachli, we only apply it by a kaplan. We don't apply it by a poil. We only apply it by a kaplan, and we don't apply it by a poil. I'm dafka not translating the kaplan poil, because that's what we have to now look into. Now, what would happen if, when Reuven gave the car to Shimon, Shimon said, listen, I've never actually done an engine on this type of car before, and it's a very fiddly thing, and it might take more time than I anticipate. So you know what? I reckon it's going to take 4 hours. My hourly charge is £100 an hour, so I reckon it should take 4 hours to be £400. If it takes longer, I'm going to have to bill you longer. I'm going to have to bill you more. Oh, he probably doesn't say if it takes less, I'll bill you less. But if it takes longer, I'm going to have to bill you more. Turns out, Tucker took four hours, and he finished, etc. So now, do we apply this halacha of umukai v'shachki or not? Remember, the mechanic is getting out on this technicality, so to speak, that the Shach says he can say kimi like those who shown him, the umen kene v'shachli, I was doing it for me. However, the problem is that in halacha state, umen kene v'shachli, even if you hold the umen kene v'shachli, does not apply by a poil, it only applies by a kavan. So now, in order to answer this particular shaila, we need to define and classify what is a poil and what is a kavan. Now, if I ask you what's a poil and what's a kavan, what's the first thing you're going to say?
One works for you.
So the classic way of defining, I'm not sure if you meant exactly this, is that one charges for his time, one charges for the work.
What does cabin mean? I don't understand.
That's what we're getting now. That's what we're trying to understand. Right. So if in 10 minutes you don't know, then get back to me. So poil has just been defined. Poil has just been defined as someone who charges for his work, right? So whether he charges for his work, for his time. So whether that means he charges an hourly rate, whether that means it's somebody who works a 9 to 5 and charges a monthly rate, or whether someone who charges an annual rate. The bottom line is he's billing for his time. That's a poil, as defined. A kablan is somebody who charges for the job. Right, so for example, a classic case, you take in your suit to the dry cleaners, you say, how much is it to clean a suit? They'll tell you how much. They're not billing for their time, they're billing for the job. And if it takes them a bit longer, that's their problem. If it takes them shorter, that's their gain. They charge for the job, right?
Taxi or minicab.
Well, there are different ways of doing taxi or minicab, right? So that is the simplest way of defining the difference between a poil and a kavan. There is another way of defining the difference between a poil and a kavan. There's another way to define the difference between a poil and a kavan. Let me take that a little bit more. A poil is someone who has to work at a specific time. Right? For example, you have a person, employee, who has to be in the office from 9 to 5, right? Or 7 to 7, whatever it is nowadays. Right? So he is not free to do what he wants when he wants. He has to be in the office at those specific hours. Right, so therefore that is a poil. A kavlan is someone who works himself, so to speak, self-employed. Let's be careful with that terminology nowadays, right? But he's somebody who works for himself and really can do the job whenever he likes. So let's say you take a dry cleaner, right? So you give him the suit to the dry cleaner, and they'll tell you, right, so you're giving it now, it'll be ready tomorrow at 1 o'clock. But when they do it between now and tomorrow, it's up to them. If they wanted to, they can come in the middle of the night and wash it. I don't care. And they're not bound to do it at any specific time. Right? There's two ways of defining poil and kavan. One is that a poil charges for his time, a kavan charges for the job. The other way is that a poil is somebody who has to work at a specific time, and a kavan is somebody who doesn't have to work at a specific time. He can do the job whenever he likes. Now, the trouble is, what happens when these two different kedarim clash? Let me give you a classic example. Nowadays we find that when it comes to, example, accountants, right, or lawyers, so very often they'll charge a retainer, or they'll give you the bill at the end, and they say, listen, give me your account, I don't know how many hours it's going to take, so I'm going to go and work excuse me, I'm going to go and work on your accounts. It's going to take, how many hours it's going to take? I charge, my rate is X amount per hour. Right? I'm not going to guess what the X is, right? X amount an hour. So in such a case, he though has, you know, whenever he wants to do that work, he can do that work. He can wake up in the middle of the night and work through the night to do the accounts, especially if he's got, you know, Yiddish clients. It's probably going to be a certain few days in the year when he has to do that time. But Lemaisa, he's free to do it when he wants, but he's charging an hourly rate. So what is he? Is he a poel or is he a kaven? Now the nafgaminas, the two initial nafgaminas which come to mind from Shas Shulchan Aruch, the first one is Alocha Voino. Oino is Alocha Voino. I think we mentioned this before in the past. Sukkim in the Torah. There's an issa to overcharge somebody by a sixth or more. And similarly too, if a person undercharges by a sixth or more, it's grounds to invalidate the sale. Now, I will say a little caveat here. Nowadays, it's very hard to find a situation of richtige Oino. And that is because nowadays, very often, the price discrepancy is dependent on many different factors, right? So, for example, a can of Coke in Tesco is not going to cost the same as a can of Coke in a high street shop, and it's not going to cost the same as a can of Coke in Harrods, right? So different places charge different things because of their overheads, because of the size of the shop, because of the location. So it's very hard to compare like for like. So for Oino, you have to be comparing, in this market that you're operating, you are overcharging. And it's very hard nowadays to actually have specific markets. Possibly. One of the areas where it's a little bit easier, maybe, is in money changing. If the markup in money changing is different, because it's not a shop. So but even there, you could have different overheads. You could have one person with a shop on a high street, and a person who doesn't have a shop. It's all different. It's very hard to find a no. But in material of that, in Hilchos Eino, the Gemara says, Eino Eino Bekar Kois. Eino Eino Bekar Kois. That means, if I am selling a house, and the house is worth, let's keep the figures easy, it's worth £600,000, and I charge £700,000, along comes somebody from the neighborhood who's new, doesn't know what we're how, and he buys the house, and afterwards he realizes he's been ripped off £100,000, that's a sixth over the value. Can he ask for that sixth back? Comes along, the one says, ain't a Nobakar Kois. You have no right to cancel the sale due to overcharging when it comes to property. Why? One shot in Tosis is because property doesn't have a fixed value. One man will pay a different price for a property than somebody else, as we know. Problem with that is that nowadays, even if that's true, we have a range. Right, so you can go to four different estate agents and you can say, you know what, on this house you'll get between 600 and 650. You know what, if you're really lucky, 700. Say that. So if I go and charge someone 850, there's no question. I'm way over whatever the band is. Alpha became the Gemara says, the Maisa in the Nobaka Kos is a Xeris HaKosu. It's a Xeris HaKosu, it's a Fregen Shinkashus. Unless it's double the value is already a different story. Fine. Says the Gemara, this Alokha in the Nobaka Kos. Thank you. This halacha of Eino Nobe Karkois, we learn like we do many other halachas in Shas, we make a hekesh from karka to avodim. So if we would have in town, which Baruch Hashem we don't, a flourishing slave market, and we go to the slave market and pick myself up someone to do the laundry, and it turns out I was ripped off, overcharged more than a sixth or more, there's no grounds for Eino because Eino Nobe Karkois. And like many other halachas in Shas, we compare the halachas of Karka, the halachas of Eved. We then take it one step further and say, not only Eino Eino B'Karkois, not only Eino Eino B'Avodim, Eino Eino B'Poil. A poil is compared to an Eved. Poil is compared to an Eved. Some of you might understand that. Poil is compared to an Eved. So therefore that means, and here this taka is one area where you can find the concept of Eino. Let's take, for example, babysitting. Babysitting. So a babysitter is a babysitter. Somebody comes to my house, they're a babysitter. Right? So if a babysitter comes and the going rate is £6 an hour, which I don't think it is, but £6 an hour, and somebody now comes and they charge £7 an hour, and I pay because I don't realize what the going rate is, then can I turn it off and say, sorry, you ripped me off, that's not the going rate? Say no. So since we compare poil to an eved, ain't no but poil. Now, what's a poil? What's a poil? So back to the same shiloh. Do we go with the gedder of a poil as somebody who charges per hour as opposed to for the job? Or do we go with the gedder a poil as someone who has to work at a specific time as opposed to somebody who doesn't have to work at a specific time? So for example, if you have an accountant who does your books and charges an hourly rate, and they're charging the hourly rate, but they can do it in their own flexi time whenever they like. They're not coming into your office and having to work at a specific time. They take home the books, they could do it whenever they like. And now you get the bill, and you call up your friends because you're a bit horrified, and you check around, and it turns out for this type of accountant, this type of qualification, this type of firm, they've overcharged you. Their going rate, obviously it would have been better to clarify that before you take them on, but their going rate is more. So is that ground so no? Can you cancel the sale? Well, that depends if this accountant is a poil or a cotton. On the one hand, he's charging the hourly rate, that makes him look like a poil. On the other hand, he can do the job when he likes, that makes him look like a cotton. Which of the two defining factors do we go with? So the halacha is, we go with the second. We go with the second, we say he is a cotton. Why? Because the whole reason Eino No by a poil is because a poil is like an evet. Why is a poil like an evet and not a cotton? A carbon's not like an evet. A poil is like an evet. Why is a poil like an evet? Because when he has to do the job for you, he has to do the job for you. He's not his own brother, boss. He can't say, you know, I've actually decided today is such good weather, I'm going to go out for a walk in the park. Excuse me, you need to work for me at these specific times. That's what makes a poil like an evet. But a poil who can do the job whenever he likes, just that he's charging for the hours, so he's a lucky man. He's his own brother, boss. He's not like an evet. So when it comes to the loch of a no, we say the second getter is the one that we go with.
You said a Kaplan can sometimes have a deadline.
He can have a deadline, but he can decide when to do it. He can decide when to do it. Yeah, if he leaves it to the last second, that's his problem. But when he got the job, he could choose when to do it. coming back to our situation, so what do we do with the mechanic? Which getter are we going with? He could fix his engine whenever he wanted, but on the other hand, he was charging per hour. So halacha is, here, I changed the situation. So we charge, he says it's £100 an hour, I think it'll probably be 4 hours, and it was 4 hours.
It would have taken 5 hours.
Yes. That's the shot. Now I changed it halfway through. A new situation to. So here, the maaser, we go with the first getter. Here we do go with the first getter. We don't look at whether he has to do it at a specific time or not at a specific time. We look at, is he charging per hour, or is he charging for the job? Why? Because the reason is, what's the whole concept of umu koin v'shvachli? What's the reason we say umu koin v'shvachli? You know why? Because we say he's not working for you, he's working for himself, and then he's selling you what he's created. That's the concept, umu koin v'shvachli. Somebody who charges for the job is somebody who looks like, you can say, did he work for me and he's charging for the job, or did he work for himself and he's charging for the job? But somebody who's billing per hour is clearly working for me. He's working. What should I have to pay? What do I care how many hours it takes? If you go into a shop and somebody builds an item, they can say, this is the cost. What their cheshbon is, how they got to that cost, that's their geshef. But someone who says to you, I'm going to charge you however many hours it costs, then they're working for you. So if they're working for you, then there's no tzad to say, umun koin v'shachki. So in this particular case, since the maisa, if you would be billing per hour, then Yizichu wouldn't say umu koin v'shachli, and if Yizichu wouldn't say umu koin v'shachli, even according to the Sofik and the Shach, then Allah would be poshut that since the car at the time when it was stolen was cost worth £3,000, he owed him £400 for the work, so he'd have to pay him £2,600. Shkoyach.